Now, it seems that whether we like it or not, mobile wireless technology is in today's connected society. Over the last 15 years or so, we have become accustomed, and some may even say addicted, to having mobile phones at the ready, streaming data through those little magical devices. However, we don't give it much thought about how technology works and whether wireless technology such as Wi-Fi may have an adverse impact upon our overall well-being. On the phone this morning, we have Mr. Victor Lech. He's a radiation physicist and author of a number of peer-reviewed papers. He's here to chat to us about some concerns people are having about the rollout of 5G in Australia. Victor, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Yeah, hi. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Now, can we kick things off this morning by just getting a brief overview of how wireless technology and Wi-Fi works? How are we getting or exposed to radiation through these devices?
Yeah, well, as you just said, I'm a radiation health physicist. I've had 40 years' experience in radiation protection. And the last decade, I've become really, really interested in biological effects of RF radiation on human beings, and also plants and insects for that matter. But like most radio signals, TV, radio, mobiles, the information is actually carried on the carrier wave. So mobile phones and Wi-Fi frequencies are carrying very complex patterns of signals. And the higher the frequency, of course, the more signals you can actually put on the actual carrier wave. So what's happening is that we're moving to higher and higher frequencies and get more and more signals on the carrier wave. And as a result of going to these much higher frequencies, we're needing to have more antennas. And as you will see in the not-too-distant futures, antennas will be starting to appear on street poles. Now, this is starting to happen and people are actually objecting to it.
What are behind the objections? What are people most concerned about?
Well, the big problem is that biological evidence at the moment, the current standards are actually set on acute short-term heating. Now, that's really completely... at the moment, we're exposed to 24/7 amounts of radiation at much lower levels, what we call non-thermal levels. So the current standards aren't really applicable to keeping people safe. And a lot of other countries have actually gone to much lower standards. For example, China and India and Russia have a standard which is 100 times lower than the current standard that we're using. So what we found, if you look at the literature, particularly in the non-thermal area, you find behavioural problems, neurodevelopment problems, fertility issues, pregnancy complications, tumours, in particular brain tumours, neurodegenerative diseases. There's a whole cardiovascular effects. There's a whole host of biological effects that actually occur at much, much lower levels. You've got to remember that this technology that we're using today in Wi-Fi has come from the military. And so what we're doing is we're starting to roll out what is like military-type technology. And the 5G, the first phase of 5G is just to give you fast internet. But eventually we'll have what are called multiple input, multiple output devices on street poles, which will, as you walk down the street, the beams will actually steer towards you. So this is really ramping up the technology. And the reason they're doing this is because they're wanting to eventually integrate this technology with low Earth satellites. So they're planning to put up 100 low Earth satellites. For example, if you want to have autonomous vehicles running around on the street, you have to control them. So the way to control them is wirelessly. So you'll have lots of antennas along the street and you'll have lots of connections to lower satellites.
Victor, is non-thermal, the exposure you were talking about there, the same as the non-ionising radiation that's in a lot of literature out there? Is that the same thing? Okay. So the way that I understand it is that the kind of ionising radiation that people see as harmful, the ones that you get through like X-rays and gamma rays and ultraviolet, the ones that people really know as harmful, are kind of the ionizing radiation, where non-ionizing radiation is what we get in microwaves and cell phones and radio, that is kind of attributed to only those thermal responses. Why do you think that there's such a... Because you see so many scientists out there saying, and doctors out there saying, that this non-ionizing radiation is harmless due to its lack of potency. But then you can hear people like yourself who are really worried about the potential impacts of it. Why do you think there's such a disconnect in the sphere and in the conversations that we're having?
Yeah, well, that's the part of the problem is that a lot of radiation scientists like myself and a lot of my colleagues, we all work with ionizing radiation, that is X-rays and gamma rays. And of course, what you say is quite correct. The energy of the X-ray and gamma ray can actually interact at the atomic level. But with the microwaves energy, it can actually interact at the molecular level. Now, at the molecular level, you're not only just going to get heating, you're also going to get changes in rotation and spin of electrons, of molecules, and these actually are interacting at the protein level. When they, in the early 2000s, when they did some of the early experiments on this, they thought, oh, we're not going to see DNA breaks, for example. They won't happen. But in fact, they did. And in fact, there was a reflex study carried out back in 2000, 2004, and they did see DNA damage, but it was acting in an indirect manner. It was acting at the protein level. It was interacting at the molecular level. So there were changes that were unexpected. And the scientists at the time who spoke out about that were gagged, basically. So you've got a number... There's a real problem in this area. And in particular, too, I mean, we all love our devices. They're great and terrific. But we need to have really strong... consumer advice around using these devices. They're not toys. And for example, when they did the early disease studies on mobile phones, the Interphone study and the Cernet study, in those studies, they said, there was no risks. We didn't really see any link between brain cancers and using mobile phones up to your ear. We didn't really see any risks there. Well, that was true for casual user, and a casual user was somebody who used a mobile phone for once a week. But when they looked at the heavy users, and a heavy user is somebody who uses a mobile phone glued to their ear for 30 minutes a day.
Oh, God, that's so me.
that's typical today. That's typical. And when they looked at that evidence, they found that the higher the cumulative hours that the person used a mobile phone, the higher the risk. The higher the time when they first used a mobile phone, the higher the risk.
Mm.
These were statistically significant risks. The higher the power, the higher the risk. You know, and that's when your signal's low. When your signal's low in a remote area, the power cranks up. Your mobile phone goes to maximum power because it's trying to connect to the cell phone. So the higher the power, the higher the risk. The younger you are when you use first these mobile devices, the higher the risk. When you look at which side the tumor actually forms on the brain, it's on the same side that you're using if you're left-handed, it's on the left side of the brain. If you're right-handed, it's on the right side of the brain. It correlates. And the other thing that was really quite scary was that they found that women who were putting mobile phones in their bra, and they're doing that for a number of years. And these are young women. These aren't older women. These are women in 20s and 30s. What they discovered was that they got breast cancer, but those cancers were actually quite different to the normal cancers. They were in a line, and the surgeon was very confused when he first saw these cancers. So there is evidence out there to say there is a risk with these devices. So what we should be doing is taking a precautionary approach towards these devices. But what's happening is when you say to the government we should be taking a precautionary approach, they switch off and say, oh, no, the evidence isn't strong enough. There's not enough strong evidence. And when you look into the science and you look into the scientific literature, and you look at who's funding the study, if you've got a no-effect study, it's pounds to peanuts as being founded by industry. When you get effect studies, those studies are being institutionally driven and funded. So there's a real problem there.
It sounds definitely like something that people should be educating themselves on and really looking into literature so that they can, you know, make their minds up on how they feel about this. And I guess that's what all this event that you'll be speaking at, the Stop 5G event in Sydney's Inner West, coming up this week, it is, isn't it?
Yep.
Absolutely.
It's on the, I'm just trying to remember now, I think it's on the 20th.
It's on the 30th of June, 30th, Sunday. 30th there we go. I found it. Well, Victor, thank you so much for joining us this morning. It's very interesting to hear, and best of luck with the panel coming up.
Okay, good luck. Thank you.